Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. After 2 years of anticipation, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission finalized some of the most important transmission reforms in recent memory. Essentially, FERC announced new rules that aim to make it easier to build new interstate power lines and set criteria to figure out who should pay for them. This is a big deal to President Joe Biden's climate and clean energy goals, and if we want to make sure we have reliable power as electricity demand skyrockets. But as we know, this has been a contentious topic on the Hill and at FERC for a while now. So today, I chat with Politico's Catherine Morehouse to understand the details of this historic rule and how lawmakers and industry are reacting. It's Tuesday, May 14th.
I'll explain the two top-level things that this transmission planning rule does. Possibly the most critical part of the rule addresses this tricky question that we've talked about a bunch of times of how do we determine who pays for the cost of these new massive transmission lines. So the biggest thing that this rule does is it lays out a methodology for how to actually calculate which customers benefit and what those benefits are for these new power lines. And that's something that a lot of grid experts have said is a huge contributor to the backlog of resources that we've also talked about a lot in the podcast, because there just hasn't been a clear way of determining who pays. And then when you're arguing about payment methods, then all of a sudden it's a longer and longer timeline to get these resources connected to the grid, people back out. It's a whole mess. The second big thing that this rule requires is basically more proactive planning. So specifically, it requires a 20-year planning horizon for new transmission, and each region has to conduct a new plan once every 5 years. So basically, what that does is for the first time tries to anticipate the needs of the system based on utilities' plans for new generation. And the commissioners who are in favor of this rule argue that this makes sense because we know all of these resources that are coming online. And thus far, the grid has been planned in a very piecemeal kind of reactive way rather than being proactive based on, again, all of these new wind and solar plants that we know are coming.
And there was another big rule that FERC put out that looks at the backstop authority for when the federal government can override state decisions on transmission. So what did FERC say there?
Yeah, and this is basically FERC complying with authorities that the bipartisan infrastructure law had clarified. They had said, we want to make sure that it's clear that FERC does have the authority to override state rejections or delays of transmission lines in some instances. And this only applies to a specific number of regions designated by the Department of Energy. And actually, the Department of Energy just last week released what 10 regions are potentially the first round of areas that can benefit from these new transmission lines. So these are called National Interest Electricity Corridors. And basically, they are the regions that are considered the most congested and really in the most dire need of new transmission lines. So within those regions, if a state says, no, you can't add a new transmission line, or just delays the approval of the line, or maybe it just has been sitting in the state commission for a while, then the developer can go to FERC and say, hey, this is a line that serves the national interest. Can you do something here? And FERC has the authority to step in.
And the first big rule that we talked about, the cost allocation and planning one, was finalized along partisan lines. Sounded like the dissent from Republican Mark Christie, you know, some fireworks in the meeting that you were present at. So how are Democrats actually defending it?
Yeah, so I'll start with what Commissioner Christie said. He basically blasted the rule as completely unfair to consumers. He thinks that FERC is playing too big of a policy role here. He's long argued that the need for new transmission lines is being driven by state policies, and FERC shouldn't be kind of catering to that and allowing these lines to be built out on the backs of ratepayers who aren't in states that maybe have these more ambitious climate goals. So he issued a really strongly worded dissent just saying, you know, this doesn't give states the input that they need. This doesn't protect consumers sufficiently. This rule is basically catering to the huge corporations, the big pockets who really want to just build more infrastructure, and some of the major corporations who are adding more demand onto the system and also need more access to generation. And he says that's not a win for customers. In defense, Democrats, including Commissioner Clements and Chair Willie Phillips, say, you know, this rule is ultimately about reliability, and this is a rule that is critical to making sure that what is already happening on the grid, which they say is, you know, not just driven by policies, but actually driven by economics. You see states all across the country invest in wind and solar. They say that that is a reality on the grid. And what FERC is doing is making sure that the grid system responds to those rules and make sure that this congestion that we've been seeing is no longer a factor. And they say that can create benefits for customers. It can maintain reliability and really just ensure that we have a more robust system going forward. And Josh, I would love to hear from you what the reaction on the Hill has been to this rule. I know that you got a pretty explosive comment from Majority Leader Chuck Schumer about it. What did he tell you?
Yeah, so Schumer did a press call on Monday, kind of taking a victory lap of sorts. And, you know, he's someone who, as you know, did push FERC to take strong action in this area. And he basically said, you know, actually, we know that cost allocation, he was eager for something to happen in Congress on that. And we saw that was part of broader permitting negotiations, and they fell apart in their original context, given Republican opposition to doing anything on cost allocation. And he actually told reporters, no, like, you know, I always had FERC, in his words, in the back of my mind as kind of where the action would happen, given GOP opposition that isn't going anywhere. And then I followed up and was like, okay, well, what does this mean for action in Congress? Because we know that you know, Energy Chairman Joe Manchin and John Barrasso, the top Republican on the Energy Committee, have been in discussions around perhaps doing something on transmission along with other measures to boost fossil fuels and passing something this year. And Schumer was very dismissive and said, this was the outlet to do something. And I told Manchin that this is, you know, very unlikely that we would be able to get something done this year. So pretty much shut the door. So I thought that was pretty significant, because I know, you know, a lot of observers say, well, you know, if Congress doesn't act right, I mean, regulatory agency, you know, action is kind of subject to whims of changes in power. So also seeing, you know, outside of Schumer, some, of course, support from clean energy advocates, Democrats, Representative Sean Casson and Mike Levin, Democrat of Illinois and California, who've been leaders on transmission, you know, put out a statement very supportive, saying this is, you know, vitally important to spreading clean energy. And then Barrasso himself, who I mentioned earlier, you know, was very critical of the cost allocation piece and kind of took up this line that we've heard through this whole process, that this is something that they feel like is going to force rural Republican states to kind of pick up the tabs for actions that Democratic states want to see. So pretty much on partisan lines so far.
Also, President Joe Biden plans to quadruple the tariff that former President Donald Trump imposed on Chinese electric vehicles to 100%. We're expecting the White House to announce that decision on Tuesday, according to a person familiar with the move. It's part of a larger action from the administration to raise tariffs on Chinese-made goods, including on batteries, critical minerals, solar products, steel, and aluminum. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline, and they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.